This is the Aftermarket Radio Network.
Hey, everybody. Welcome, Carm Capriotto. Remarkable Results Radio. 10 years in and still going strong, especially going strong with my guest here today, Jay Ganinen. But before we get into all of that, I want to remind everybody that October is Breaks for Breasts Month, breaksforbreasts.com. We are a huge supporter of that. Every independent shop that I know of in America should be part of this thing to help generate the incredible money, $2 million year to date toward the breast cancer vaccine. Just go to my website, type in Breaks for Breasts, listen to the episode we did about a month ago. You'll be blown away by some of the stuff they talk about. And I think you'll get a nice, warm feeling in your heart and you'll get involved in that. Hey, you know, we couldn't do this if it wasn't for our great partners. More than 16% of light-duty vehicles on the road are EV and hybrid. Is your shop ready to safely and properly service them? Get your shop trained and equipped to service hybrid and EV vehicles with NAPA AutoTech's innovative EV-ready Level 1 high-voltage awareness and maintenance training. Hey, for over 30 years, NAPA Trax has made selecting the right shop management system easy by offering the best, most comprehensive SMS in the industry. We'll prove to you that Trax is the single best shop management system in the business. Find NAPA Trax on the web at NAPATRACS.com. Hey, Jay Ganinen is here from Wrenchway. Hey, Jay.
Hi, Carm. How are you?
I'm great. It's been a while that you've been on, and I have been following Wrenchway ever since you created it, Wrenchway.com. It's the kind of community where you bring shops and schools and technicians together. What was your brilliant thought way back when this started?
I don't know if it was brilliant. It's been an evolution. I think even from the last time I was on the show, we had started off as a recruiting firm named Find a Wrench. And over time, I think that company grew really, really fast. And the problem that we had was that there aren't enough people to fill all the open roles, right? So even with a professional recruiting team, my background was all on the industry side growing up in a shop, but we had a really, really good team, have a really, really good team. We kind of went back to the thought process of when I was a kid, my dad had always, he taught me that it was a cardinal sin to take a technician from your neighboring shop. And kind of all of those rules went out the window when everybody got desperate. And here I was starting a business around that, kind of going against my dad's advice. And so as we were growing it, we wanted to kind of figure out maybe a different way to go about this and maybe not such a duct tape fashion, if you will, more so how do we fix this foundationally? And so in 2020, I took on a business partner, Mark Wilson, who is a brilliant, brilliant guy, really has that technology side, which I don't. And he's a CPA by trade, so he likes doing the accounting stuff that I don't like to do. And so we launched that as a job board piece. And really what we wanted to do was give the technician the ability to do their due diligence on a shop and really understand everything about it in a way that Zillow does for housing, right? Where you can go on to Zillow and really kind of dive into the square footage and all of the details about the house. We wanted to do the same thing for technicians. So we launched that in 2020. And as we were building it, we really, I think, landed home with our purpose, which ultimately ended up to be to improve, promote and improve technician careers. And as we did that, we wanted to really dive in deeper on a lot of things. So one of the things that we started to really understand was that the schools weren't getting enough support. So I know you've done a lot of great work with schools, but with the high schools and post-secondary schools, some of them are struggling with budget. Some of them are struggling with enrollment. Some of them are struggling with it's all kinds of different things, right? So we thought, what better way to get involved with these programs than to streamline the communication between schools and shops? So we launched School Assist, which is a part of Wrenchway. We teamed up with ASE last year on that. So we co-brand that. And really, that is just meant to, if that school needs a donation or if they need somebody to come speak to their class or they need a shop tour, whatever it is that the school needs, we streamline that communication out to a shop. And so the evolution as a whole has really been purpose-driven in trying to get our industry into a better place. And we've got a lot of really cool stories now over the years of shops that have really gone out of their way to help these schools. And I think if you look at this from a macro level, you can see that obviously there is a shortage of technicians. We hear about it all the time, but we got to get more in. We've got to be able to keep the ones we do get in the industry. And as a whole, I think we've got a lot of work to do there.
I think we've all realized that we have to put some of our energy down to the school level. And we have to invest in high school and in college. And as independents, if you've not knocked on a door, visited, spoken to, brought on an apprentice, on and on and on, and hired one of the students for the 2 years they're in school, shame on you. I'm sorry. That's just plain and simple because I've seen it work, Jay. And I've got friends who were just telling me the other day, was over the house, and he says, "Hey, Carm, you remember the guy I hired from ECC? That's the college." "Yes. I mean, I made him an offer." "And he's fallen in love with diesel, Carm. He's fallen in love with diesel, and I don't do diesel, and I'm going to lose him." But he knows he's got a standing invite. Point is that he invested, fell in love with, taught him, and he's developed a long-term relationship. Point of it is that he got involved in school. It changed his business. It changed this individual's career. We're going to be in such a tough, tough way down the road, as you say, if we don't invest in our young people. Anyway, there's another reason you're here. Thank you for the global look at where Wrenchway is. But every year you do a survey. And boy, when I looked at this year's survey, I says, I've got to have Jay come on. I got to have him talk about this. And 4,700 people responded to the survey, meaning it's got a ton of value. And we're going to talk about some of the key components that came from this. But the independent individual who's listening to this, I need you to listen to what Jay's going to say. And I need you to think about how you're going to ask your own people about these key components that Jay's going to talk about. And then ask them the question, why aren't you recommending our shop to your friends, even for work or to work here? Why? God, Jay, I mean, 4,700 respondents, anonymous, 43% of the respondents were technicians or specialists, I like to call them. 62% was at their job for over 21 years. Wow. And then the average age of the technician out of that survey was 40 years. So one of the big takeaways that we want to talk about for our industry, that technicians aren't recommending their shops. As I just said, Jay, did that blow you away?
I don't think it blew me away. I think I was disappointed because year over year, the satisfaction levels went down, right? We measured net promoter score. That had gone down on all categories, right? Where it's a little frustrating because I think there are so many fine folks out there trying to promote the industry, trying to do the right thing like you and so many others that are doing some great things. But if we get, you know, half of the technicians not recommending their own shop, we're really going to continue to battle at this, right? And, you know, I think I'm going to kind of go off path here for just one second. I think one of the things that as we look at this, that is very, very important is we talk about career pathing a lot, right? And we talk about career pathing for young people. And I think we need to open the conversation for career pathing for those that are 50 years old, 55 years old, because there are so many young people that see how that experienced technician is being treated. And if it's not very good, which in a lot of cases, we do tend to kind of use them up and spit them out when we're done with them. They look at that and say, okay, am I really going to stick in the shop for 35, 40 years and really enjoy this? Or are there going to be other opportunities? And so as we look at this as a problem, when kind of going back to that stat where, you know, half of technicians aren't recommending their own shop, we've got to figure out how we get that turned around, right? And how we get that more experienced crowd speaking positively about this industry. And I'm sure you've talked about this many times, but if you go onto social media and you look at some of the Facebook groups or you look at Reddit chats and you look at different types of commentary going on through social channels, it's primarily negative, right? And granted, I think the negative are going to speak up more than the people that are having really good positive experiences. And there are a lot of technicians that are really good at their jobs and really love their jobs, but might not be as boisterous. A lot of times it is that negative crowd that stands out. We've got to figure out how we get that changed, right? How we get those experienced technicians saying that they love their jobs and that they do recommend that young person come into this industry. And that's a big hill to climb.
Boy, you just brought up something huge. We could go on for 2 hours about that. Everything you just said about the negative attitude on social, and we're always looking for an answer that satisfies ourselves when we post anything. And I'm upset about people not wanting and willing to stretch themselves and learn how to mesh with their team, mesh with all the issues that are going on. You got me thinking. And the problem that I have when I do a podcast episode, and people know this, my mind wanders when I'm hearing my guest go, you know, to extreme places in the dialogue. And one of them, I talk about career pathing all the time. When I get in front of a crowd and I talk about how to take a young individual that's come out of any kind of course, be it high school or college, in the automotive future, and I talk to them about setting up a career path for these young people. Please make a commitment for 5 years where this individual is going to go inside the company, from tools and equipment to the apprentice program to, in 5 years, what does the training look like? When I heard you say our older people, what happened, Jay, when about that future career path, I started to think about specialties that don't require the back as much as it would be if you were heavy line, okay? And I started to think about ADAS calibration. They're not going away. Everybody says, well, they're going away. No. Talk to the experts. Some vehicles will change from static to dynamic. Dynamic. It's going to be there for us, like it or not. We're going to have to be in it. But that's not that heavy of a lift, an ADAS calibration specialist, is it? And that could be a future for an individual who's, I don't know where I'm going, but my back hurts. I'm tired. EV hybrids. Yeah, I get it. But there's lifts now that'll take the battery out. That is not that. Yeah, okay. You've got the alignment specialist and the brake specialist who's going to work on all that stuff, but maybe a main diag person for EV and hybrids? And then I go back to this thermal management thing that's going on. I don't call it air conditioning anymore. I call it thermal management. That is not a bad level of specialty that may not be as backbreaking as some of the other work we've asked our people. So thank you for bringing that up. And that's the reason we do these podcasts. If people listen to this, they walk away with an idea. Says, even if the idea doesn't resonate today, maybe as you move your strategic initiatives in your business and you grow it, this could possibly come to life.
You had sent your thoughts on the specialists out to me and to several others and or a lot of people. And I think it's a brilliant move for our industry to kind of start going in that direction, because it does open up those career paths. And as you're talking, I'm thinking through, you know, the opportunity to use that really experienced person, depending on their personality, you know, which way they're going to go. But if you're struggling to get people, it might be hard to take that person off of being a straight producer, but how great would it be if you do install that in-house trainer that is in charge of getting these young people up to speed, and then you get more young people in the shop and you have some ability to be able to have quality control because you've got somebody overseeing them and maybe even making themselves a multiplier. You know, if you do have that or that that more experienced technician that is looking for that next opportunity, you know, rather than kind of just, you know, have them leave you and take all of that experience out the door, regardless of which way they can go, if you can have a conversation with those folks and start to understand what are your goals. And a lot of times in my experience with technicians, you got to kind of pull it out of them, right? You've got to be able to ask good questions. You've got to be able to really get them to think, some of them more than others. You know, even at our own family shop, we've got a technician that really wants that career path, wants everything laid out for him. And then we've got another that's like, I don't know, I just like wrenching. I just like being out here in the shop, right? And so, you know, I think one thing, I've talked a lot about this over my years in the industry, but one thing I think we've got to break away from is kind of putting all technicians in the same bucket, right? I think our industry a lot of times is guilty of saying, okay, a technician you know, they all have the same interests. They all have the same family life. It's not true, right?
They're mechanics.
And I think the more respect we give them in that sense, you know, that, you know, something like scheduling, right? That was something that came up in the survey as well, is that being able to be flexible and have a culture where it's okay for your tech to go watch their kid's football game or soccer game or whatever it is and not catch flack for it. And I remember growing up in a shop, if you went and left to go to a doctor's appointment, you'd come back and, you know, you'd get ribbed that, hey, part-timer, you know, I was like gone for an hour.
Hey, what's my toolbox doing out in the driveway?
So those are all cultural elements of a shop that I think could change. And there are some great parts of it. I think the best shops out there, their cultures, you know, they do have a work hard, play hard mentality, and they do, you know, get along, or at least, you know, they might not be best friends, but they work well together. And, you know, as shops put together their teams, the more intentional they are at it, the more likely they are to be able to put the right puzzle pieces together, right? And the right personalities that fit together. And even looking at getting a young person into your shop, a lot of times I feel like we approach that the same way that we do with an experienced tech, that if we have maybe a high school kid or an apprentice that shows interest in this industry, we're like, come on down, come on in, rather than maybe going through the due diligence of understanding, is this person going to be a good fit for our team? Is this person worthy of us putting in years of training and, you know, the money that it takes and the time that it takes to do that? I think we've got to get a little bit more intentional at an early stage on who's walking in our doors.
Absolutely. I love what you said, work hard, play hard. And I want to add one more thing there.
Yes.
Life hard.
Ooh.
Think about that. Okay. Listen, we understand we work hard, we play hard, but we also know that life can be hard. And that's why we have that flexible PTO. That's why we care that you hang with the kid. As long as we know you got to leave at, you know, 3:30 today and you're not going to be back because your son's got a soccer game after school, we'll schedule around you. Maybe that's what we're seeing in this survey, Jay. And I know that's what we're seeing in this survey. And so technicians aren't recommending their shops. 50% of them would not recommend their current shop to a friend. That's scary to me. And I want the independent to go at your next huddle, say, hey, the Wrenchway survey came out. This was huge. I want to know from each of you, would you recommend a shop for repair or to work? And if not, or maybe it's not in an open meeting, maybe it's in a one-on-one, because maybe people will be more than happy to tell you what's wrong. Why? Stop. WHY. The why question sometimes is one of the most powerful you can ask.
I love what you just said there in terms of using the survey really locally at your shop, right? And go ahead and steal our questions. I've actually suggested that on webinars that we've done, that if you're a shop that's out there and you're really, really concerned about your culture, take what we put on the survey and survey your own team, right? Like, take those questions and ask your own team, and hopefully it drives discussions. Hopefully it really gets people to maybe think about what makes them happy. In a lot of cases, I do think there's times where maybe they don't know what's going to make them happy. So I think being able to have that as an opener for dialogue, to have those great conversations with your team, can be really, really impactful. And it's not like you have to come up with this from scratch, right? I mean, you could go to ChatGPT and say, hey, based on this voice of technician report, give me some questions to be able to use with my team, and then really be able to use that as the guiding questions for you as you go into whatever meeting you're going to have.
Scary, ChatGPT. Scary, scary, scary. And yes, you're right. I love what you just said. Based on this survey, give me some questions to ask. It's perfect, because at heart, I'm a technician. I'm not a good interviewer. Anyway, number two on your list of profound takeaways from the 2025 Voice of Technician survey was that pay remains the top pain point. But can I preface that by saying, you got to make a profit if you want to be able to pay your people the right number. That's my biggest soapbox ever, but you know that.
It is so true. And I think most shops want to pay their people well, other than the one that I used in the example earlier in the episode. Most want to do right by their team, but a lot of shops do really struggle with that profitability piece. And I have suggested to so many people that if you are struggling with this, a coach might seem expensive, but it will be very, very game-changing for you. And finding which coach is the best fit for you is really impactful, but that will help get you profitable. That will help give you opportunities to be able to offer your team the competitive pay, the competitive benefits. And if you're one of those shops that is out there struggling right now, I'm not going to recommend a coaching group. All I'll say is go talk to some people and see who's out there that can help you, because there are a lot of companies that are truly impactful. I know my own family shop has had a very positive experience with coaches and the accountability piece from an ownership standpoint, where you do get held accountable to some things. I think the better the coach is, the more accountable they're going to hold you. That is what drives, I think, a lot of this. Absolutely right.
Are you a Napa Auto Care Center who is ready to take your shop to the next level? Then the Premier Tier Napa Auto Care Gold Certified program is exactly what you need. Gold Certified Auto Care Centers provide customers with a consistent experience no matter where they are in the U.S. Now, this means they are more likely to return and support your shop or find your Gold Certified Auto Care Center while on the road. Gold Certified members can maximize technology, increase their local marketing opportunities, and have a fully trained team that keeps up with the latest trends. Simply put, the Gold Certified Napa Auto Care program powered by your local brand will set you apart. A true partnership is a two-way street. Shops must meet specific criteria to be eligible for the many benefits of gold. Now, Napa Auto Care rewards its most committed partners, their gold certified members, with free premium shop referrals on the Napa online locator, annual marketing dollars, an enhanced warranty, training opportunities, program rebates, and so much more. Are you ready to get started? Contact your local Napa sales representative to discuss your eligibility and apply today. More than 16% of light-duty vehicles on the road are EV and hybrid. Is your shop ready to safely and properly service them? Get your shop trained and equipped to service hybrid and EV vehicles with Napa Autotech's innovative EV-ready Level 1 high-voltage awareness and maintenance training. Hey, take your auto care center to the next level, the gold level, with the Napa Auto Care Gold Certified Program. This program is for the best of the best who can provide a consistent consumer experience and earn the trust of returning and new customers. Talk to your Napa sales representative about how you can become a gold certified shop. Let's face it, your shop management system is the single most important tool in your shop, period. NapaTrax was built from the ground up to make your business more profitable and efficient. We provide an extensive set of tools to increase and track profitability in real time. NapaTrax offers the industry's best post-sale support, hands down, and we train your people on site. Yep, on site. And we offer remote refresher training 10 times a week, and customer support is open 6 days a week. Give us a call, visit the website, or join our Facebook community today to learn more. We'll prove to you that Trax is the single best shop management system in the business. NapaTrax is always customized and tailored for you, whether you're a one-man shop or a large multi-bay or multi-location company. After all, it's your shop, so it's your choice. Visit us on the web at NapaTrax, that's NapaTrax.com. We know so many coaches in the industry. Go to remarkableresults.biz, our website, and just type in coach and look at all the interviews that we've done. And why? You get a chance to hear that person and hear their philosophy and hear how they believe accountability works. And I know people that have tried to coach for a year and then changed and all of a sudden they blossomed, because a lot of times it's personality. But if you don't want to do the work and you don't want an accountability partner, then continue to struggle. That's all I'm going to tell you.
Couldn't agree more. And the one last thing I'll add there, Carm, is that one of the biggest impacts that a coach can have is that they see a lot of different businesses, and this is what they do in their day-to-day lives. And so just the power of being able to see multiple operations and what works and what doesn't, and the commonalities between the good shops and the bad shops, it can really, really help a lot of people out.
Part of this question that makes me curious about that pay is the top pain point is about how it's structured, if there's bonuses, you know, if it's salary plus. I noticed that flat rate was a little down on the list if you kind of dig deeper into the survey. What's your opinion of that?
I think it depends on the technician, right? I've talked to a lot of technicians that really enjoy flat rate. They love that lifestyle. I've talked to a lot that hate that lifestyle. And so I've seen more and more shops adapt to this by offering multiple pay plans. So a technician can choose what pay plan they'd like to be on. I think a lot of it comes down to the shop management and what they're comfortable with. For me personally, I do like having something with a floor so that people can pay their bills, that if the shop's not busy, that they still take home a paycheck, because I think if they don't, that's a really easy exit, right? If you're just strictly paying on flat rate and the shop gets slow, it's really hard for that person to take care of their family, right? So it's hard for them to justify staying there. To me, I love the hourly plus bonus as some type of bonus incentive plan, because I think you do get elements of both. But at the end of the day, I think it comes down to what's the best fit for your shop. There are some people that are diehard flat rate. They're not going to change, and that's fair. And they just need to find the technicians that are comfortable living in that life. And really, there is a high side to it, right? Like with flat rate, there are technicians that make really, really good living. So there are some benefits to each. I think being able to, the one thing I look at with flat rate, right, is there are times where they can't control the work that they put out. And so if maybe they have a weak service advisor, service writer, and they're struggling to bring in work because they're not doing a good job presenting the work to a customer, that has a negative impact on a technician and is out of their control. And for me, if I've got a high performer, I want them to have as much control as they can over their output. And so if they are struggling with that, that is one area where I would probably prefer the other.
There's a lot of people that have a preferred way they'd love to get paid. I mean, it's just ingrained in them, just like Republican, Democrat. It's just how it's going to be. Okay?
It is. That's a good analogy.
But on your page 8 of the surveys, preferred pay structure of technicians and students, hourly or salary or hourly with a production bonus makes 61% of the survey. And flat rate of a 40-hour guarantee is 19%, and traditional flat rate makes up the other, the 18%. And it was to technicians and students, and the word students in there just made me think, boom, because our young people that are coming out of school that have either maybe interned at a dealership or an independent shop are being affected by how they're being paid and what's going on in the talk in the shop. And so they're coming out of school with a attitude of how they would like to be paid. And I believe that as the independents, my biggest part of the audience, we have to think, what is it that our people want? And if you've been a flat rate shop forever and you hire people that want to come in and work under flat rate and you got a great culture and a profitable business, please don't change a thing.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I think that's where I go with, like, if it's ingrained in your culture and it's working, keep rolling with it. If it's not working and you can be honest with yourself that there's something missing, then that's when you need to make changes. And really, this is where I like to bring technicians into the conversation, right? Is because if they should have a say in how they're paid. And if you have that conversation, and I've seen it a lot with shops where maybe you've got a group of technicians that aren't necessarily in love with flat rate. The shop owner is in love with flat rate. And there's just this constant disconnection of really what they like. And so it turns into this office versus shop type of mentality. And I think that's an unhealthy shop, right? When you've got your front office folks fighting against your technicians, it's not a fun place to be at.
Thank you for that. Nice to haves is one of the next topics we want to cover. And have you ever asked your people in that latest huddle? And in fact, this is a public thing. Hey, what are we lacking? Things that are nice to have. I love the fact that you covered that.
Yeah, and I think when you look at it, proper equipment in the shop was huge, right? And especially with independent shops, we see it all the time where if you constantly are having to update software, or you're constantly worried that, you know, we haven't had our hoists inspected in 10 years, you know, the safety element of it, right? There's just so much that goes into it. If I'm a professional technician, I don't want to settle for lesser tools. And if our labor rates are in line with what a dealership's labor rates are, we've got to be able to justify that, right? And so having the proper tooling, having, I know one, and this is going to age me quite a bit, but when I grew up in a shop, I'll never forget, we had a terrible alignment machine. We'd have to recalibrate the heads basically every time we did an alignment. It was very frustrating and it took a ton of time that we didn't need to be spending on that. But it was because we just had a really bad piece of equipment. And so being able to get something like that fixed takes away frustrations from a good technician, especially, you know, if it is something where you're being paid on productivity in the shop, and you have malfunctioning equipment or equipment that just isn't up to par, up to standard, it drives a lot of frustration and you're not going to get the quality technicians that you're looking for because they're not going to settle for that.
So agree. Let me go back to the P word, the profit word. Okay, so we need some new tools and equipment and software, and we maybe need a new computer or something. Or how about a monitor over here? That would be really nice. Latest and greatest tool. It only comes from profit. And I don't think people understand that part. I just don't. Maybe this episode that we're talking about your survey may prompt some people to say, you know, maybe I should really talk to a coach because we need new equipment. It wouldn't that be a crazy reason to do it? But no, a real live reason.
I do think if they're taking the time to listen to a podcast like yours, right, they're probably going to be a shop that is trying to do better. There's a reason they're listening to this podcast or any of your other podcasts in general, is because they are trying to get to a better place. So I think that demographic a lot of times isn't our problem. It's a lot of times the people that are just trying to put fires out every day and barely keeping their head above water. And granted, I'm sure there are some shops listening to this that might be in that situation. Again, going back to the coaching thing, I think that's a really, really solid move. But you're absolutely right. Don't shy away from the fact that profit is going to be the thing that's going to drive all of these things that can help you out. And, you know, I think in our industry, that's been something we've been scared about. A lot of shops have been scared about for a long time is, you know, they're good people. They're trying to not take advantage of their customers. But at the same time, you have to run a good business. You have to run a profitable business. Otherwise, you're not going to be able to do any of this.
Thanks for that, Jay. I've always said, ever since day one of podcasting episode, I think it was episode one, listen to learn just one thing. That's why you're here. And I'm kind of changing it to listen to learn just one thing, but implement it.
The execution.
Think that through. I learned this. This is great. But if you don't do anything with it, you've wasted the bandwidth. You've wasted your brain power to dream and think about how this could help you. And so you either got to write that down to-do list or just sit with the people and says, listen, God, boom, got to do this. Help me do this. Assign responsibility to push you. Go to your coach and say, hey, I want to do this thing. What do you think? And hold me responsible. Next call, make sure I do this. And some people need that kick in the ass, Jay.
They really do. It's something as simple as having a one-on-one with a team member of yours can be something that really keeps people up at night, right? Some folks don't like having those conversations. And I do go back to the fact that there are so many of us that came into this industry as technicians and maybe didn't get the formal management training that we really should have had prior to opening our own shop or prior to running a shop. And I think that part, we've really, as an industry, started to move in the right direction with the amount of conferences available, with the amount of resources online that folks can get that training through. There's no excuse now, right? You have the ability to go do the work. You just have to go do the work if you want it bad enough.
And it goes back to, there is an awful lot of content. There is no excuse not to improve and excel and to learn and to educate yourself. You know, by the way, I don't like the word training. Did I ever tell you that? I never have. I like the word education versus training.
I like that too.
Someone told me the other day, I'm doing a speech, I go around the country with my keynote on the rise of the specialist. And someone looked at me the other day and he says, Carm, we train dogs to give me their paw over and over again until they finally do. Tell me, in the over and over again concept, as it comes to technician training, specialist training, service advisor training, leadership training, how many times are we going to have that same routine that someone's teaching us happen to me? It's so generally wide open that, oh my God, we're going to go do this scope pattern on this GDI issue that I have. How many times may it ever happen again? We're educating you on all these things you need to learn, education versus training. And every time I say that, we train athletes in that muscle memory over and over again, but we educate ourselves. So back to the career pathing, our education career path for you, the education that we're going to pay for you. And when you stop to think about the job that I have, I'm a mechanical specialist or a technology specialist, and education versus training, these are the sophisticated words we need to have today, because words matter. And if we're going to grow a brand new young workforce, let's just stop using our old shitty language.
I couldn't agree more, Carm. I think it's something that has come out in this survey, along with all kinds of other content we've done. I think there is this hunger and this thirst for more respect as a profession, right?
Yes, that's the word, the professionalism of our industry.
Yeah. And at some point, we've got to hold the technicians accountable to this too, right? I'll use an example here. We've got a great TikTok following, and we have a girl, a lady on our team, Val, who does a phenomenal job out there. And you'll see one of her clips that she'll put out there, and she's in like a work uniform. And some of the comments that come through TikTok, you're like, oh, guys, can we grow up just a little bit? You want that professionalism. You want respect level from the outside public. Yet when I go on a forum like this and I read all of the comments that are coming through, we're kind of shooting ourselves in our own foot, right? Because we have all of these technological advancements. We're working with these very sophisticated tools now. We need to act like professionals too. It's not just everybody all of a sudden is going to flip a switch and treat us with respect when we can't really garner that respect ourselves, right? We're not acting like professionals a lot of times.
I'm afraid to say what I want to say next. I got to find Luca Brasi to protect me. Why do we feel that we're a nobody, that we're a nothing? And that when somebody's trying to prop us up, they're saying, no, you don't get it. You are doing everything you can to prop the industry with all that you're doing. I'm busting my hump every day with 7 episodes in our network to prop people up. I call it episodic education. And why do we want to pull ourselves down? Why do we not feel that we're a somebody, that we're professional, that we're working in a professional place? And it goes back to the place we work at, the place who loves us, the place who appreciates us. And that's the power of what's coming out of this survey. Wrenchway.com, get the survey, download it and read it and ask yourself, how am I going to lead my company through these results that out of 4,700 people, it's an incredible cross-section. And so that's the reason I wanted to have you on. I just wanted to talk about this, and I wanted to, if you will, plaster this over the brains of the people that listen to this show. And of course, yours. You said the word, I believe every time I get in front of a crowd, I say, we are a profession, but we're a professional profession. And every time we get that, the certificate of the doctor in the office, does the ASE certificate hold as much value today? You've got to have and be registered and licensed to do certain things, but not in our industry. We're touching a 70 mile an hour bullet. It's scary how the lackadaisical attitude of what we do and how we do it is burning a hole in our profession. You want to know why we can't bring on people? Because we don't act like they have a place and a home. I'm off my box now. I'm down. I'm off.
I wish we could clip that part right there, because it is so true. And I do really think that is one of the key elements to how we move forward, right? Is we need that respect. We need our profession to be able to step up. And really, when we look at something, you mentioned ASE, that conversation around ASE is constantly circulating. And if you go back to the origin story of ASE, I think it's really powerful, right? The whole reason we have ASE is because the manufacturers got together and said, hey, government, we don't want you licensing our technicians. We've got to remember that a little bit, because it is crazy to me that it takes more licensing to be a hairstylist than it does a technician. Really, I think when we look at that respect level, that is where ASE has a really, really strong need in this industry, is that we need to be able to show those credentials and show off that we are properly trained and we are properly educated, correct? And like, just being able to have something there that actually proves our worth is very, very huge. And I'm sure I'll catch some heat for that, because there's all kinds of different opinions on that topic. But I do think it's necessary for our industry to really get to where we want to be at.
Totally agree. We've done so many episodes on this, and just type in ASE on my website again and listen to some of the great stuff. One other thing is this whole satisfaction level of our people inside of our industry. You have found that it continues to decline, survey after survey after survey. I don't think somehow we're not making the satisfaction level with our great specialists in our bays. And let me go back to why this professionalism and the that words matter and what we call ourselves and what we do. I think internally it's powerful in helping a satisfaction level internally, but you know, the language shift for the consumer looking in at us is more important than ever. You know, specialists save lives. Everybody has technicians. There's technicians everywhere today, but we're specialists.
We, at some level, need to be training our audience as well, right? Our clients of our shops, that the reason you're paying so much to get your vehicle fixed is because this is, you know, we pay our people really well. We have the right equipment. We do, you know, when we talk about the P word, the profitability word, it takes some understanding from the customer and truly understanding why maybe that shop down the road that isn't as expensive might not be doing as good a job as you, but you can't come right out and say that on social media. You can't go out on your Facebook page and just bash your competition. You have to be able to kind of explain, why are you so great? Why do you charge what you do charge, right? And really, I think when you talk about education, that education of the end user, of the consumer, is so important, because they have to have some understanding and some trust that you're acting in their best interest, right? And yes, you might not be the cheapest shop around, but you're doing it the right way and you're not cutting corners.
Yeah. Why is my alignment $399 and the guy down the road $99? Well, I think to your point about educating the consumer is, if we got a 1 degree problem on your forward-looking radar sensor, blah, 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 here's what it's going to see at 1,000 feet down the road. Oh, I didn't know that. A chart and an explanation gets it covered. We do ADAS calibrations, or we have people that we know that we send these vehicles to because of the big work we did on the alignment of the vehicle. And yet we don't know how to explain that. And it's going, wait a minute, I'm a professional shop. I should be able to professionally explain this to my client as to why we're what our price is and why Bob down the road. Wait a minute, that break, I looked it up on YouTube. That was nothing. You charged me how much?
And you're seeing, I know shops are seeing this, because I hear it, we hear it at our own family shop, right? Where, hey, I looked on Amazon, that part is only this much. And you're like, okay. A lot of times, I think when a customer comes in saying that, might not be the customer that you want in general, because if you're going to get price shopped on everything, it's not a fun shop customer relationship to have.
Fire them. Okay.
Fire them. That's right.
So what are we going to do, Jay? Let's summarize this up, and we could again talk for another 2 hours. But the next generations, they've got different expectations coming up, and we have to remove, and you know, this is my dad's Oldsmobile mentality when it looks to be hiring some young, great talent that's got the potential. We can train them. We could make them apprentices. What do you know about the next generations? Because you do so much with schools. What are their expectations?
Well, I think the expectation really is having some form of career growth that they can see, right? That they don't think like I did when I first came into the industry. I just thought I was going to go into a bay and work there until I retired, and that was going to be my life. Turns out that I was a terrible technician, so that was not going to work anyway, whether I wanted it to or not. But I think everybody, and not just young people, but people that have been in the industry for a long time, they want to know what that path looks like and what opportunities are going to be out in front of me. They also want to know what they're going to have to do to get there, right? They want some visibility to, you know, hey, if it takes that, I'm going to need this certification, this ASE to get to this next level. What are you going to do to help me get to that point? And I think in a lot of ways, the shop can't be the barrier for growth, right? And I think a lot of times, maybe it scares shops when you have a young, ambitious technician come in the doors and they knock all the tests out right away. And if you had tied it to pay, all of a sudden you've got a young person that's being paid pretty significantly. And I think that's the wrong mentality, because if you have that person that comes in with the ambition and wants to go after that stuff, that's the type of person you want to pay, because they're showing the initiative to actually go out and get stuff done. And if they're showing that initiative to get up there and they are driven by money, which a lot of people are, right? You almost have to be, then you should reward that person. You should treat that person really well. And hopefully that translates into productivity in your shop as well.
You just prompted me to tell a little mini story. Bear with me, everyone. When I'm doing my keynote speech, I talk about, you know, the youth that have been hanging around our shop because I hired them out of high school and or college. And they just graduated and they came over to me and says, hey, you got any full-time opportunities? And I said, yes, I do. But how all of this started was mom and dad went to the club on one Friday night and their friend said, hey, so what's Johnny going to do? Well, he's going to Erie Community College and he's going to be a mechanic. And they go, oh, that's nice.
Happens all the time, doesn't it?
Think about it, right? A mechanic. So he comes to my shop upon graduation and I say, I want to hire you. Here's the pay. I think you're going to really like it from what you were doing, but I have a progression. Let me show you what you could be earning in the next couple of years. And let me design up this career path for you as we bring you on as a mechanical specialist. And you remember Bobby, who works in that corner bay with beautiful white ceiling and the LED lights and the three or four computer terminals and the laptop. He's wearing a white lab coat. You know him, our technologist or our technology specialist. You have the ability to be there someday. But we've got to come up with a 50-hour training program over the next 2 or 3 years. We're probably going to send you to a conference or two. You're willing to do all of that. It's all set up in the job description. It's all set up in the career path. Well, he graduates. He gets a job with me. Mom and dad are at the club that Friday night after he gets his job. And they say, so Johnny just graduated. What is he going to do? Be a mechanic? And mom says, no, he's going to be a mechanical specialist as he works his career toward being a technologist in the automotive field. And they go, oh, wow. Those are the kinds of stories I love to tell to people to get them a warm fuzzy about why we're so important and professional and significant, but we have a lazy way of, yeah, you want to, okay, go and work in the bay. We don't have any plans for people. Why accept the job as a young person today if there is no career path to both of our points?
So spot on. And I think that relationship that you just talked about, the parent-child relationship, is so key. And I'll match your story with a separate story that I had individually where we had this young technician. This wasn't at my family shop. This was at a different shop that I managed, that he loved working and just loved being in the shop. And I went to his tech school graduation and he was very productive right off the bat. It just an absolute rock star. And his parents, his dad was a farmer. His mother was an attorney. His grandmother was a very successful business person. Well, his dad was off in a different conversation. His mother and grandmother at graduation came over and started talking to me. And they said, just so you know, this is a short-term thing for him. He is going to be a tech for, you know, for maybe a few years, and then he's going to go back to school and do something different. I said, understand, I'm not going to argue against the parents, but then I get back to the shop the following week and I pull the individual in and just the perfect person, right? Just really kind, really, really smart and really respectful, everything that you'd want in not only a young person, any person, right? And I said, you know, your mother and your grandmother said that this is not the long-term thing for you. And I just want to make sure that we're on the same page. And as we kind of lay out training and everything like that, that will probably have somewhat of an impact on what we're able to do with you. And he goes, man, I just want a wrench. Like, I love doing this. And my parents and my grandparents, they want me to do something different, but this is truly what I want to do. And so their own family had this conflict of what his best interests were. And he was already making great money as a young person, didn't have student loan debt, didn't have a lot of the baggage that comes along with having to go back to school. But he had this pressure from his family to pursue outside interests, right? To pursue things outside of our industry. And he stuck with it. And he battled against his family and just saying that this is what I love to do. This is what I want to do for the rest of my life. And I believe to this day, he's still in a shop.
And probably doing well.
Doing very well. Yeah, absolutely. For the amount of work he was putting out, he was doing really, really well back then. I can only imagine what he's doing now.
I love to hear very well, really, really well. And those are great comments when it comes to what people can earn in our industry. But you got to have a profitable shop with a great culture, good team, commitment to continuing education. I had a blast. I can't believe this has gone so fast. It was like we just started.
Just like we just started and kind of picked up from where we left off many years ago, right? It's really always a lot of fun to talk with you. I'm such a fan of what you do and the whole lineup of podcasters that you now have. There are a lot of them that I listen to regularly and really, really top-notch quality on all of them. So kudos to you and everybody on your team for all of the good work that you're doing in this industry. It is really leading the way and something that I look forward to listening to. You guys just do phenomenal work.
Well, Jay, you are doing some great things for our industry, your own podcast and all this stuff at wrenchaway.com. Please get on that website, take a look at it, and continue this survey. Don't stop because I'm going to repeat that. Please get the survey, download it, read it. Yellow markers, yellow highlighters, pen, look at this thing and then ask yourself, any of my people think this way? And if they do, and you've got great plans for a great business, a great profitable business, hiring really great people, and your people think like this, and there's some gaps, then figure out how to fill it. Figure out how to get close to your people. Use the Voice of Technician survey from Wrenchaway to help create your new 2 or 3 year plan. Wow. Jay Ginninen, wrenchaway.com. Whew. If you learned anything from this, then go and do something about it.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive aftermarket podcast. Until next time.